Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask that Thou would open the Word for us today, help us to understand it, help us, Father, to set our sights high, recognizing that surely the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the last time we were together with you, we read Revelation chapter 9, verses 12 through 21, because that particular paragraph describes what happens when the sixth angel sounds his trumpet during the tribulation period. You will keep in mind we are discussing at the moment the judgment of God, which is to come upon the earth after the church has been taken away. The judgment that we are considering at the present time is the judgment symbolically presented under the sounding of six trumpets. Five trumpets have already sounded. We are looking at the sounding of the sixth trumpet. We are going to reread today only a portion of the paragraph that we have been discussing and will continue to discuss at the moment. We read in verse 12, "One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." That's a reference to the sounding of the fifth trumpet. Then we read, "The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God." We refreshed our minds, remembering that all judgment on the earth is related to the golden altar in heaven, because the golden altar in heaven is a symbol of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Judgment upon the earth must be borne because men did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, upon whom the judgment of the sins of the world had been rolled. A voice from this golden altar, according to verse 14, said, "Loose the four angels which were bound in the great river Euphrates." We learn that these four angels were bound in the region of the Euphrates River. We ask two questions. One of them we were able to answer. The other we did not have time to. One of the questions was, who are these four angels? Why were they bound? And we discovered that there are good angels and there are bad angels. The bad angels were those who were cast out of heaven the same time that the devil was cast out of heaven. We discovered that among the bad angels were some so evil, so terrible, so awful, that they had to be kept bound for a specific purpose, lest they turn their power loose upon the whole human race. We were told that these angels were bound for a particular hour, a particular day, and a particular year. Now, these angels, we learned, evil angels, bound for a particular time period, were bound for this particular judgment described in this paragraph, which is to be visited upon the earth during the tribulation period. Now, we would like to try to answer the second question which we projected. And that second question was, why are these individuals bound in the region of the Euphrates River? Why this particular location? Why not some other? Surely there must be some significance if emphasis is placed upon the fact that these individuals were bound in this particular region. Now, I believe the answer to this question can be found where we have found all our other answers. I believe the answer can be found in the Word of God. You will remember that in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, we have the Euphrates River mentioned for the first time. In the 14th verse of that chapter, we are told that the area surrounding the Euphrates River is the place where sin first entered into the world. In the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, we are told that the first capital of evil was in the region of the Euphrates River. Perhaps you will remember in Revelation chapter 3, and if you took the time to read what is recorded in Revelation chapter 18, you would discover that Satan himself has chosen his capital, the place where his throne is to be on this earth, in this very region, the region of the Euphrates River. So we could safely say, this is the region of evil. It is a region dominated by the power of the devil and by the power of demons. This was the place, you recall, where the Tower of Babel was originally built, the place where false religion began to dominate the hearts and the minds of men. It is in this particular part of the world, then, that the demon invasion of humanity will actually begin. Now, if you will glance down at verse 15 of Revelation chapter 9, you will notice that when these angels are loosed, they are loosed for a specific purpose, to slay a third part of the men who are on the earth. That is, a third part of all the living people on the earth. Now, I don't know whether you realize what a tremendous statement that is or not. If we had any idea of what the population of the earth will be at this particular time, we would be astounded at the number of people who are going to be slain when this demon invasion of humanity begins. It will result in half the human race being annihilated. In chapter 6, we've already learned that under the opening of the fourth seal, one-fourth of all the population of the earth at that time will be destroyed. Now the third of those remaining will be destroyed, constituting altogether half the human race. Half the human race destroyed in these judgments of the tribulation period. I wish you would try to visualize this with me, because it is a literal statement. And I'm not sure at all that we can visualize the tremendous thing that is being suggested in this portion of the Word of God. There will not be a great many people left when the tribulation is over, because the judgment of God will fall upon the human race in such a fashion that men cannot live. Now, if we're thinking today, and if we're curious, and we ought to be, we might say, how will these four angels accomplish such a destruction of the human race? How will these four angels, only four of them, who have been chained for this particular purpose, how will they accomplish this thing? Well, look down at verse 16 and realize that these four angels will lead an army of horsemen. 200,000, 200 million horsemen will be led by these four angels as they invade the earth. John is specific about the number because he said, I heard the number of them. When we read in verse 17 what kind of horsemen these are, we recognize immediately that they cannot be a human army. We recognize immediately that they belong to no certain country. We recognize, as we have already suggested to you, that they are an army of demons led by these four fallen angels in an attack against the human race. Look down at verse 17 with me, please. Thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of these horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three were the third part of men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them, with their tails, they do hurt. What a tremendous vision is before our eyes. Surely, no thinking person could believe other than that a supernatural army is being presented to us. Unless you use some figment of your imagination to let it stand for some particular movement or some particular horde of men. If you do that, you may, but you will not find one vestige of Scripture to back up your assumption. For the Scripture indicates that this is indeed God's army, unseen army in a sense, for evil. We're going to have to stop our meditation right there because our time is gone. But we say to you, as we say when we come to the conclusion of each one of these broadcasts, dealing with the horrible evil that is yet to come upon the earth, thank God for the redeeming grace of God that delivers men from this period of time that is yet to come. We hope you are trusting Christ so that you will be delivered from the hour of trial that is to try the earth.